Hello, my name is Dave Emery, and in this half hour, we're going to go once again back into the subject of the Kosovo Liberation Army, Albanian organized crime syndicates, and the war in Yugoslavia. We're once again going to resume a paper that was written by Professor Michelle Chasudovsky, last name Chasudovsky. He's a professor in the Department of Economics at the University of Ottawa. This paper is entitled Kosovo Freedom Fighters Financed by Organized Crime, and it can be accessed, among other places, from the website of Mike Rupert, former LAPD narcotics detective who has crusaded against the intelligence community's involvement in drugs. That website, again, www.copvcia, one word, copvcia.com. And we're going to overlap this discussion a little bit with a discussion that you heard, or that hopefully you heard on the other side. This is excerpted from the One Step Beyond program of May 9th of 1999.
These interests have high stakes in ensuring a safe passage of drug shipments into Western European markets. The next section, the Albanian connection. Arms smuggling from Albania into Kosovo and Macedonia started at the beginning of 1992 when the Democratic Party came to power. Headed by President Salih Berisha, facts from the internet, so some of the punctuation is not that visible. Beginning again, arms smuggling from Albania into Kosovo and Macedonia started at the beginning of 1992 when the Democratic Party came to power, headed by President Salih Berisha, B-E-R-I-S-H-A. An expansive underground economy and cross-border trade had unfolded. A triangular trade in oil, arms, and narcotics had developed largely as a result of the embargo imposed by the international community on Serbia and Montenegro, and the blockade enforced by Greece against Macedonia. Industry and agriculture in Kosovo were spearheaded into bankruptcy following the IMF's lethal economic medicine imposed on Belgrade in 1990. The embargo was imposed on Yugoslavia. Ethnic Albanians and Serbs were driven into abysmal poverty. Economic collapse created an environment which fostered the progress of illegal trade. In Kosovo, the rate of unemployment increased to a staggering 70%, according to Western sources. Poverty and economic collapse served to exacerbate simmering ethnic tensions. Thousands of unemployed youths, barely out of their teens, from an impoverished population, were drafted into the ranks of the KLA. In neighboring Albania, the free market reforms adopted since 1992 had created conditions which favored the criminalization of state institutions. Drug money was also laundered in the Albanian pyramids or Ponzi schemes which mushroomed during the government of former President Salih Berisha from 1992 to 1997. These shady investment funds were an integral part of the economic reforms inflicted by Western creditors on Albania. Drug barons in Kosovo, Albania, and Macedonia, with links to the Italian mafia, had become the new economic elites, often associated with Western business interests. In turn, the financial proceeds of the trade in drugs and arms were recycled towards other illicit activities and vice versa, including a vast prostitution racket between Albania and Italy. Albanian criminal groups operating in Milan, quote, have become so powerful running prostitution rackets that they have even taken over the Calabrians in strength and influence, unquote. The application of strong economic medicine, unquote, under the guidance of the Washington-based Bretton Woods institutions, had contributed to wrecking Albania's banking system and precipitating the collapse of the Albanian economy. The resulting chaos enabled American and European transnationals to carefully position themselves. Several Western oil companies, including Occidental, Shell, and British Petroleum, had their eyes riveted on Albania's abundant and unexplored oil deposits. Western investors were also gawking Albania's extensive reserves of chrome, copper, gold, nickel, and platinum. The Adenauer Foundation had been lobbying in the background on behalf of German mining interests. Berisha's Minister of Defense, Safet Zulali, Zoulali, alleged to have been involved in the illegal oil and narcotics trade, was the architect of the agreement with Germany's Prusag, handing over control of Albania's chrome mines against the competing bid of the U.S.-led consortium of McAlloy Incorporated in association with Rio Tinto Zimbabwe, By the way, Prusag is Preussag. Large amounts of narco dollars had also been recycled into the privatization programs leading to the acquisition of state assets by the mafias. In Albania, the privatization program had led virtually overnight to the development of a property-owning class firmly committed to the, quote, free market, unquote. In northern Albania, this class was associated with the Gege families linked to the Democratic Party. That's spelled G-U-E-G-U-E. Controlled by the Democratic Party under the presidency of Salih Berisha, Albania's largest financial pyramid, VEFA Holdings, had been set up by the Gege families of northern Albania with the support of Western banking interests. VEFA was under investigation in Italy in 1997 for its ties to the mafia, which allegedly used VEFA to launder large amounts of dirty money. According to one press report based on intelligence sources, senior members of the Albanian government during the presidency of Salih Berisha included cabinet members and members of the secret police, SHI, secret police, SHI, let me begin again with a sentence. According to one press report based on intelligence sources, senior members of the Albanian government during the presidency of Salih Berisha, including cabinet members and members of the secret police, SHIK, were alleged to be involved in drugs trafficking and illegal arms trading into Kosovo. Quote, "The allegations are very serious. Drugs, arms, contraband cigarettes, all are believed to have been handled by a company run openly by Albania's ruling Democratic Party, Shkiponja, S-H-K-I-P-O-N-J-A. In the course of 1996, Defense Minister Safet Zhulali, Z-H-U-L-A-L-I, was alleged to have used his office to facilitate the transport of arms, oil, and contraband cigarettes. Drug barons from Kosovo operate in Albania with impunity, and much of the transportation of heroin and other drugs across Albania from Macedonia and Greece en route to Italy is believed to be organized by Sheik, the state security police. Intelligence agents are convinced the chain of command in the rackets goes all the way to the top and have no hesitation in naming ministers in their reports." The trade in narcotics and weapons was allowed to prosper despite the presence since 1993 of a large contingent of American troops at the Albanian-Macedonian border with a mandate to enforce the embargo. The West had turned a blind eye. The revenues from oil and narcotics were used to finance the purchase of arms, often in terms of direct barter. Deliveries of oil to Macedonia, skirting the Greek embargo in 1993 and 4, can be used to cover heroin, as do deliveries of Kalashnikov rifles to Albanian, quote, brothers in Kosovo. The northern tribal clans, or fairs, had also developed links with Italy's crime syndicates. 30 in turn. The latter played a key role. Oh, excuse me, that's a footnote. I'm sorry. The northern tribal clans, or fairs, had also developed links with Italy's crime syndicates. In turn, the latter played a key role in smuggling arms across the Adriatic into the Albanian ports of Durrës and Valona. At the outset, in 1992, the weapons channeled into Kosovo were largely small arms, including Kalashnikov AK-47 rifles, RPK and PPK machine guns, 12.7 caliber heavy machine guns, etc. The proceeds of the narcotics trade has enabled the KLA to rapidly develop a force of some 30,000 men. More recently, the KLA had acquired more sophisticated weaponry, including anti-aircraft and anti-armor rockets. According to Belgrade, some of the funds have come directly from the CIA, quote, funneled through a so-called government of Kosovo, unquote, based in Geneva, Switzerland. Its Washington office employs the public relations firm of Ruder Finn, notorious for its slanders of the Belgrade government. By the way, that was discussed in For the Record segment 149, among other programs available from Spitfire. Continuing, the KLA has also acquired electronic surveillance equipment, which enables it to receive NATO satellite information concerning the movement of the Yugoslav army. The KLA training camp in Albania is said to concentrate on heavy weapons training, rocket-propelled grenades, medium-caliber cannons, tanks, and transporter use, as well as on communications and command and control. These extensive deliveries of weapons to the Kosovo rebel army were consistent with Western geopolitical objectives. Not surprisingly, there's been a deafening silence of the international media regarding the Kosovo arms and drugs trade. In the words of a 1994 report of the Geopolitical Drug Watch, quote, "The trafficking of drugs and arms is basically being judged on its geostrategic implications. In Kosovo, drugs and weapons trafficking is fueling geopolitical hopes and fears." The fate of Kosovo had already been carefully laid out prior to the signing of the 1995 Dayton Agreement. NATO had entered an unwholesome marriage of convenience, unquote, with the mafia. Freedom fighters, unquote, were put in place. The narcotics trade enabled Washington and Bonn to finance the Kosovo conflict, with the ultimate objective of destabilizing the Belgrade government and fully recolonizing the Balkans. The destruction of an entire country is the outcome. Western governments which participated in the NATO operation bear a heavy burden of responsibility in the deaths of civilians, the impoverishment of both the ethnic Albanian and Serbian populations, and the plight of those who were brutally uprooted from towns and villages in Kosovo as a result of the bombings. And again, that paper by Professor Michelle Chasudovsky of the University of Ottawa and the Department of Economics is available on Mike Rupert's website. That's at www.copvcia.com.
Once again, that was excerpted from the One Step Beyond program from May 9th, 1999. 2 days later, on Tuesday, May 11th of 99, Frank Viviano of the San Francisco Chronicle came out with another blockbuster article following up on his article of May 5th. This talks about how, I guess, what one could call native Albanian mafias were moving to take over the racket, so to speak, that had been run by the Kosovar organized crime elements, including the drug trade to a certain extent. This particular article also talks about the profound role of organized crime in Albania, and this is not only a superb article, perhaps Pulitzer material, but beyond that, a lot of the points of information made here are so incredible or so stunning that if one were to say this to somebody, they'd be likely to accuse you of fabrication. Without further ado, then let's get to the article. I should say, San Francisco Chronicle, Tuesday, May 11th of 1999. This is in the Dispatch from Europe series by Frank Viviano, V-I-V-I-A-N-O, possibly the best journalist in the mainstream working press today. This article is entitled "Albanians Try to Take Over Kosovar's Crime Network," subtitled "War Leaves Drug and Arms Traffic Up for Grabs." And again, this begins on the front page of the Chronicle, 5/11/99. It reads, "In the shadows of the war in Kosovo, a ferocious upheaval is shaping the criminal landscape of Europe. As NATO bombs and Serbian troops disrupt a Kosovar crime network that has dominated the narcotics trade across the continent, underworld clans from neighboring Albania are making a powerful bid to take over. They are the real government of Europe's poorest and most lawless nation, and by some estimates even more dangerous to the Allied campaign than the tanks and anti-aircraft weapons of Yugoslavia. Albania, quote, Albania has become the leading country in a wide variety of trafficking, in clandestine immigration, in prostitution. It ranks as a top exporter of narcotics, the nation's own former president, Saleh Berisha, charged in a January speech accusing his successors of corruption and links to criminal syndicates. Again, quoting, until recently, our heroin abusers got their supplies from Kosovars based in Zurich. Chief Jean-Bernard Leguet of the, that's L-A-G-G-E-R, of the Geneva Police Brigade told investigators from Geopolitical Drug Watch, or OGD, Europe's most respected narcotics surveillance organization. Quote, but now, Albanian traffickers have moved into Geneva to deliver drugs to their doorstep, unquote. Police officials say that the clans, known as Fares or Fares, F-A-R-E-S in Albanian, have even begun contesting turf with South American cartels in the European cocaine market. Quote, the criminal mentality in certain Fares existed before the war, but it was relatively small time, says Michel Koutsouzis, senior researcher at OGD and Europe's leading expert on organized crime in the Balkans. Koutsouzis, last name K-O-U-T-O-U-Z-I-S. Continuing, quote, what the Kosovo crisis and the war have done is to elevate that mentality enormously to push it to a much higher level, unquote. The clans have embraced what police officials call the Sicilian model of criminal organization. Put simply, this model works on the consolidation of a firm power base at home, with deadly influence on the political structure, from which domestic crime syndicates gradually build international operations. By the time NATO and hundreds of thousands of Kosovar refugees arrived in Albania 2 months ago, the consolidation was well underway. Whole districts and towns are actually under the utter control of the gangs, former President Berisha says. In the countryside surrounding the cities of Vlorë and Durrës, according to the French weekly Le Nouvel Observateur and other European periodicals, refugee convoys from the war zone have been held up by armed bands in the past 2 weeks, with young Kosovar women singled out and abducted. Elsewhere in the country, humanitarian workers and journalists from many Western news services report highly organized war profiteering, including the diversion of aid shipments into the black market, bribery demands by customs agents processing the shipments in Albanian ports, and gang-run taxi firms charging as much as $120 to transport exhausted refugee families less than 8 miles from the Kosovo border to the Albanian town of Kukësh. The normal fee is $4. An unheated room for aid workers in Kukësh today rents for $300 per night in ramshackle houses that sold outright for less than $1,000 before the NATO bombings began. It's like the Klondike during the gold rush, Albanian journalist Frok Kupi, C-U-P-I, told the Swiss weekly Die Weltwoche, describing the profits being reaped from foreign military and humanitarian operations. Men claiming to be sales agents for the national telecommunications company have asked as much as $3,000 for the computer card necessary to connect a cellular phone with the satellite network. We should know from experience from places like Rwanda and Somalia and Bosnia that humanitarian agencies must deal with the local mafias in a war zone, says Koutsouzis, again quoting him, there is no other way to get to the victims, unquote. Those who try to sidestep the clan syndicates do so at their own peril, in a land where the number of illegally owned Kalashnikov automatic assault weapons in some cities is greater than the number of residents. On April 30th, the Associated Press reported that almost every journalist, unquote, who had gone to the refugee camp at Bajram Kuri in northern Albania has been robbed, including a team from the Associated Press. The Organization of Security and Cooperation in Europe, which oversees the camp, has had two of its official vehicles hijacked by armed men. The U.S. Army's Task Force Hawk installation at the Tirana airport outside the Albanian capital ranks crime ahead of Yugoslav forces among the main threats to American troops in Albania. Locked inside a hermit country for half a century while the eccentric, pseudo-Marxist regime of the late Enver Hoxha prevailed, the Albanian clans did not arrive on the European organized crime scene until the early 1990s, more than a decade after Kosovar drug lords mounted their own successful takeover of the heroin trade. Albanian crime bosses have made up for their late start with extraordinary aggressiveness and risk-taking, say European law enforcement authorities. In Germany alone, more than 800 Albanian nationals are currently serving prison sentences for heroin trafficking, a phenomenal number for a country with scarcely 3 million people. The only larger foreign group in German prisons is from Turkey, which has 20 times the population of Albania and millions of its citizens resident in Germany. Unhampered by the political struggle that led Kosovar drug bosses to put their empires at risk in a war with Belgrade, Albanian clans have also extended their reach far beyond the drug trade. As their local power base is solidified, they have rapidly become major players in a dizzying array of criminal enterprises abroad. Regional clans from southern Albania are believed to have formed an active partnership with the Sicilian Cosa Nostra and its branches in mainland Italy, and emerged as the principal agents and enforcers in sex rings fed by Albanian speedboat fleets that ferry undocumented immigrants across the Adriatic Sea. In February, a Chronicle reporter found dozens of automobiles with Palermo license plates parked under heavy guard in the gang-infested southern port of Vlorë near waterfront cafes where much of the conversation was in Sicilian dialect. The police chief of Vlorë, Colonel Soko Kociu, K-O-C-I-U, contends that a special high-speed ferry service has even been established to serve Cosa Nostra emissaries traveling back and forth between Sicily and Albania. Law enforcement officials in Italy say the Cosa Nostra is moving steadily into finance and money laundering, while the dirty work of international organized crime is subcontracted to others. There is no mistaking the substantial Albanian presence in this arena. Of 447 men and women arrested in Italy in 1997 for exploitation of prostitutes, according to that country's Ministry of the Interior, 204 were Albanian nationals. 3 months ago, a Milan court indicted 20 Albanian men who were allegedly part of a syndicate that transported 800 unaccompanied Albanian children under age 16 to Italy, where many were forced to beg in the streets under threat of torture. The speedboats that carried these children west have not been deterred by dozens of Allied warships in the Adriatic. On a single night during the NATO bombardments of Kosovo and Serbia, April 26th, the contraband fleet dumped 1,200 clandestine immigrants on the beaches of southern Italy. The violence of the Albanian crime clans has soared exponentially since 1997, when Albania's entire financial structure collapsed, throwing the country into chaos. Riots erupted across the nation. Army units and meagerly paid police who earn $100 per month abandoned their bases and armories. In the free-for-all that ensued, looters carried off an estimated 2 million pounds of explosives and 750,000 to 1 million Kalashnikov rifles. The Albanian government says that fewer than 10% of the looted weapons have been recovered. Quote, "Obviously, as long as the arms stores circulating in Albania aren't recovered, a real crackdown on crime there will not be feasible," says Italian Interior Minister Rosa Gervolino, Gervolino, who leads Rome's effort to coordinate law enforcement activities against Albanian-based underworld organizations. The Albanian legislature, known locally as the Kalashnikov Parliament, because of its members' ties to weapons dealers, shows little interest in the problem. The arms windfall provided an important boost to the KLA in Kosovo, but an even larger one to the narcotics bosses and smugglers of Albania. The same crime groups that traffic in human beings also traffic in drugs and in weapons, unquote, says Gervolino. The economic and social effects of their activity and the intimidation that often accompanies it have been devastating. The numbers of the Italian investors in Albania is 10 times less than it was in 1996, unquote, notes former President Berisha. Thousands and thousands of intellectuals are fleeing Albania only because they feel insecure for their lives and for the lives of their children. Since 1992, one-fifth of the country's entire population has abandoned Albania, usually for the grim life of an undocumented alien in Western Europe. Vlorë and its rival northern counterpart Durrës are also primary stations on Europe's most extensive stolen car circuit, which doubles as a transport system for narcotics. Hundreds of late-model luxury cars are parked on the streets. The cars have usually completed a circuitous journey with both drivers and vehicles carrying faked passports crossing through several Western European nations before they enter Albania from Macedonia. At each stage of the journey, the cars deliver trucks and stock up on televisions, video equipment, and other household goods, the OGD reports. Quote, "A transporter car will make only one or two international trips to avoid identification. The car is given as a bonus to the courier, who could have its registration changed by making a simple declaration to an Albanian official," unquote. In Chronicle interviews 3 months ago, clan leaders in Vlorë openly boasted that two-thirds of all automobiles in the country are stolen. Quote, "We regard that figure as entirely credible," unquote, said Lieutenant Domenico Di Gianturco of the Guardia di Finanza, Italy's customs police, last name capital D-I, capital G-I-A-N-T-U-R-C-O. The president of the Central Bank of Albania made the mistake of taking one of the vehicles on a vacation to Italy in 1996, where he was promptly arrested by the Guardia di Finanza and charged with car theft. Bribery demands by Albania's own customs officers, a thriving business in normal times, has boomed with the avalanche of humanitarian aid and military supplies. The number of trucks disembarking at the port of Durrës from Italian ferries has risen by nearly 700% in 2 months, from an average of fewer than 30 per day to more than 200. The only way to prevent massive theft, insists Colonel Kochu, Vlorë's beleaguered police commander, is to put the trucks immediately under the protection of a special armed military force as soon as the convoys arrive. Otherwise, he says, the aid meant for refugee camps will be diverted onto the black market, unquote. Kochu echoes Berisha's charge that the crime clans are directly linked to political parties in Tirana, and through them wield control over the nation's ragged customs service. Although current President Recep Mejdani, M-E-G-D-A-N-I, a former physics professor, is personally regarded as honest, even he concedes that graft and racketeering in his own bureaucracy are out of control. Reliable sources told the Chronicle that a European Union investigative unit assembled 70 files on customs corruption and turned them over to the Albanian finance ministry in January. The findings have not yet been made public. But evidence of the corruption scale can be gleaned from a mammoth disparity between declared tax and customs receipts and the consumption of certain import goods in Albania. In 1998, reports Tirana journalist Sami Neza, N-E-Z-A, Albanians smoked an estimated 8,000 tons of U.S. and Western European cigarettes. The total amount officially checked to Albanian customs was 11 tons. There's a virus that stands in the way of being honest in Albania, the virus of illegality, unquote, Colonel Kochiu says. Again quoting, "This virus lives and exists for the wretched interests of politicians. It is cultivated in the nerve centers of the state, in the customs service, in law enforcement, in the courts. It's an epidemic," unquote. 2 months ago, a four-man official delegation from the Albanian government was prevented by Italian police from boarding a flight to France while the plane was in transit at Milan's Malpensa airport. The police were put on guard by discrepancies in one of the men's diplomatic passports. The suspicious diplomat, unquote, turned out to be Gajmend Mamutaj, M-A-H-M-U-T-A-J, wanted for murder and thought by European police to be the Albanian mafia's boss of bosses, traveling under an alias. His destination was the headquarters of the European Parliament in Strasbourg, where the group was scheduled to participate in the ratification of an international crime tribunal treaty. That again from Frank Viviano in the San Francisco Chronicle of Tuesday, May 11th, 1999. Another point that should be made about the interrelationship between organized crime, the war in Yugoslavia, and now perhaps spilling over into Albania, at least in terms of economic effects, is that the immigrants and some of the crime that they are involved with tend to fuel political reaction in some of the countries that wind up hosting them. In particular, in Western Europe, countries such as France, Italy, and Germany have been scapegoating Eastern European immigrants and people from the Middle East for a number of different problems. And Frank Viviano had another article in the San Francisco Chronicle, this from the San Francisco Chronicle of Monday, February 22nd of 1999, again beginning on page 1 and continuing inside on page A4, this entitled "Milan Grows Fearful of Foreigners' Influx," about the relationship between fascism and political reaction and immigration. We read that we get the following. This, once again, from the San Francisco Chronicle of Monday, February 22nd of 1999, once again by Frank Viviano. It begins on page 1 and is continued on page A5 under the title of "Foreigners Become Scapegoats in Milan." Again, this from the Chronicle of 2-22-99. Viviano writes, "The result is a diabolically vicious circle, say worried human rights activists, in which immigrant crime feeds directly into anti-immigrant xenophobia. The National Front and the drug dealers are de facto allies," says Fode Silla, S-Y-L-L-A, president of SOS Racism, the leading pressure group against anti-immigrant discrimination. "Neither has any interest in seeing troubled areas get out of the mess they're in. As long as nothing changes, the extreme right will continue to play on people's fears and the drug dealers will tranquilly pursue their establishment of mafia rule," unquote. Between 1998 and 1995, the National Front became the top vote-getter among working-class Frenchmen with its call for forcible repatriation of immigrants. A similar right-wing backlash is brewing in Italy, where the center-left government has proposed regularizing the status of nearly 300,000 undocumented immigrants at a single stroke, on the theory that it is precisely their clandestine existence that drives them to crime. In response, the question of public security and an alleged immigrant threat to it are being pushed very hard by the Italian right, says Mirabelli. They see it as the major issue on which they can court frightened voters. Spokesmen for rightist parties are quick to agree. "Illegal immigration and crime are the first concerns of the National Alliance," says Massimo Turchi. "After 6 p.m., it's the foreign gangs that govern here. That can't go on," we tell voters. The National Alliance, of course, the Italian Fascist Party, the direct successor to the MSI, the Movimento Sociale Italiano, and Italy's blackshirts themselves. That concludes this segment. My name's Dave Emery. Thanks for listening.